hello, and welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal, episode 43. Actually, it's that show where we do last week's pop culture and geeky news, but this time it's 2 weeks because we took a week off. We needed a week. As always, it's your host, it's your boy Dom, aka Brother Dom, aka, I don't know, Chocolate Thunder, aka Hot Pilgrim on your asses. And always, as always, once again, just like every other time, I'm joined by the leanest, the meanest, the smoothest, the coolest. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hey everyone, it is I, Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, aka The Snow Queer on Tumblr, aka Bed Sonia when I want to take a nap.
Did you say Bed Sonia?
I did.
That's dope. I like it. Good stuff, good stuff. How the hell are you doing today, Steph?
I'm doing good. We're recording on a Sunday again, and I had a nice sleep in this morning, and I'm feeling pretty rested and ready to go.
Nice. I'm feeling pretty good too. Actually, just took a hoodie off. You know, I'm getting kind of warm. Fall's here, and turning AC off kind of still keeps you the same temperature.
Yes, we're kind of in that weird like middle zone of. Is it cold? Is it hot? Like, is it cold enough to get out my winter stuff? Is it hot enough to wear a hoodie? Or, like, too hot to wear a hoodie? Like,
yeah, September is tricky. The worst season. People love fall. People love summer.
The but season it's like, of September.
It's this in-between BS. I mean, obviously, this is in perspective. There's people with far worse weather than where I'm at in my very comfortable Pittsburgh temperature. And, you know, shouts to all those people. Hope they're doing well. But as far as everybody who's comfortably living right now, this is BS.
Yes.
And today's episode is bringing the goodness. I'm drinking Southern Tears Warlock. It's a great beer. They're not paying me to say this. They should be, but it's if you like dark stuff with pumpkin pie spice.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's an imperial stout too. It's dope. It's dope. It's good.
So, drinking water.
Ooh, refreshing.
Yeah, I have 3 glasses of water this time, because the last couple times we recorded, I have gone through my whole glass of water and then been, like, croaking by the end of the episode.
I'm trying to keep my throat nice and lubricated, keep that voice sexy, you know, kind of keep it smooth. We took a week off. It was Labor Day, and it was a short week, and things were getting tough, and self-care is important, you know, and everyone's out and about, so. But we're back with some nerdy stuff.
The whole world is still on fire, and so is the political world, but the literal world and the political world, our world's on fire.
Everything,
how about yours?
Everything is absolutely en fuego. but
can't believe I just laid down a Smash Mouth reference and you didn't pick it up.
I didn't. I don't know Smash Mouth that well.
It's honestly. Just that it's from All Star. No, it's not like a deep cut.
I don't know the words that well.
Oh.
Like, I really didn't know, like, somebody
who
was told.
Who are you?
Look, I have a certain specific class of memeing, and that's not okay. So let's throw back a couple weeks. Let's talk about some video game stuff. I guess this is all kind of old. And then we'll talk about do you want to talk about old or new first?
Let's work our way closer to the present. Okay. Start with the old stuff.
So, a couple weeks ago, I'm thinking this was, the Olympic Games has said that they will not hold violent video games to be in the Olympic esports consideration. They're thinking of more sports-based things, so kind of like your FIFAs and your Maddens. And, you know, they think, oh, it doesn't really fit the image in the spirit of the Olympics, which is BS because wrestling and boxing and judo, I believe, are Olympic events.
Yeah, like, the idea is that, like, violent video games are too violent, like, they're too violent to be seen by the Olympics viewing people, even though real violence does, like, actual violent sports happen at the Olympics. That was confused at first, because I was like, so they're considering, because at first I thought it just said, like, all video games wouldn't be included, and I was just like,
okay, well,
confused, like, okay, I guess that's fair. Then they're just like, okay, well, look, I don't care how good you are at Overwatch, but if you're really good at Madden, because it's just so bizarre, because it's just like, regardless of what you're doing with the pixels on the screen, all that a video game is your hand-eye coordination to move some pixels around on the screen.
Yeah, basically it's it's the same kind of theory. Like, if you were a pro basketball player, you probably could have just as easily, I'm assuming, athletically at least, become a football, soccer, hockey player. Now there might be like some financial reasons why you didn't go into hockey or cultural reasons why you didn't start playing soccer. But if you won the genetic lottery in the skill zone, chances are you could be good at that. Just like if you're super, super good at Counter-Strike GO, you probably could be good at Madden or FIFA if you chose to pursue that sport. So just a weird consideration, but the Olympic Council of Asia, they have announced plans to include competitive games as a medal-worthy event at the 2022 Asian Games. They have greenlit Hearthstone, StarCraft 2, Dota 2, and King of Fighters 14 in the next indoor martial arts games next month. So, like, Asia's being a little bit proactive and progressive with this kind of stuff. If you want to read about this, you can go to Gama Sutra and check that out. But, yeah, so...
It's just so interesting to me because it's, like, there's still a cognitive leap for me to consider, like, yes, video games are a thing at which you can have a skill and do a competition, but because the Olympics are so much typically more about, like, raw physicality in some way.
Yeah.
It just seems, like, I'm kind of strange to me still.
I'm kind of the same mind, and I think that's why the reason... The thing that makes it tricky to me is that stuff like rifle and archery are there. Mm-hmm. And because they use crossbows, right? They don't use recurve bows?
I think they do use recurve bows for archery. But because that at least has an aspect of, like, you have to be strong enough to pull back the bowstring. Like, a rifle, like, you can be good at shooting, but you don't have to be in any kind of shape to be good at shooting. You just have to be able to pick up the rifle and aim it.
Right. So it's, I mean, I'm not particularly hurt that they won't have the Olympics in, or they won't have video games in the Olympics, or at least violent ones, but it does seem like that the violent one is the one that strikes me as odd.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'd rather see a violent video game in the Olympics than, like, a facsimile of a physical sport.
Because, yeah, I'm, like, that just seems...
why would I want to watch FIFA over, like,
boring.
The World Cup? Real...
Yeah, over real soccer players.
And again, it does take
also,
skill,
like,
but why?
Also, like, FIFA, aren't the players in FIFA based on the real players of that season? Just like a Madden game?
Yeah. So, it's, I mean, plus more people that aren't even going to be in there because they're not good enough. But, yeah, that's
so
even
you're just,
more
you're just watching a virtual version of the game that you could have watched in real life.
Yeah, but the one benefit to interactive sports is... you can control the amount of random chance. So, like, for instance, let's say, I don't know, some soccer player's going up and, like, trips in the ground and, like, causes a divot. That now affects the way the game is played, even on, like, a luck-based scale. Or, you know, you can get lucky in real life the way you wouldn't in a video game. Or you can, you can make it so nobody suffers an injury in FIFA. But, like, you completely can just fall over and twist your ankle for no reason.
Or like the wind could be weird, or like the sun could be like,
right,
you could just like overheat or something.
So I mean, there's that aspect of it, but again, I can't imagine wanting to watch a soccer game with realistic physics and not watching a real game. Like maybe watching NBA Street or like NBA Jam over real basketball, I could see, just because it's nonsense. But but I can't see choosing to watch like sim level games rather than watching the real sport. But I don't know. But I do like esports being on ESPN, though, for some reason. Like, that doesn't seem to need to be physical to me. Like, for some reason, I can make that leap, you know?
Uh-huh.
If nothing else, just because that's the best place for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the place where it makes the most sense to be.
And
outside of, like, is G4 still a thing?
Not that I know of. And if it is, they're just still playing Cops reruns. You know, G4, I've been tossing the idea around, but I don't know why there's not, like, a G4, like, via Twitch or something. Like, something of those lines, because it would be difficult, but it wouldn't be, like, that hard in the grand scheme of things to get, like, a 24-hour block of a network, you know what I mean? Like, you have streamers that will stream for 8 hours. Like, you, if nothing else, you could have, like, we have original programming from noon to 4, and then the rest is just random streamers or, like, pre-made content. I mean, you could do that, and I mean, there's enough games that have, like, competitive streams and all that, like, just with Overwatch alone, you could do your whole weekend on just like Overwatch games and like recaps, and that's not even counting the Sports Center type events that you could have around esports, and then you add in League of Legends, Dota 2, Heroes of the Storm, and that's only two genres of games right there, and then you add the CSGO. So you could fill up a whole, at least a whole weekend of like original content, esports, video game previews and reviews. Like that could totally work on Twitch now, and it would get rid of the problem of like G4 was a specialty network, you know?
Yeah.
So if you didn't have it, like, you'd have to, like, go out of your way to get it kind of like HBO. But you know how hard it is to go on, like, obviously, Twitch chat is a garbage fire, but, like, I don't ever read that, like, on big channels. I just put the video on full screen and watch it. So, like, yeah, I don't know. That would be, and then Twitch gets the ad revenue. People would subscribe to it if they want to participate, like, in a chat. I would never do that, but I'd watch some ads or, like, keep giving them, like, my Twitch Prime money from Amazon Prime, so... I don't know. I think it's a viable thing that they could possibly do one day, and I would recommend that they do that sooner than... Because if ESPN decides to take that plunge, if they decide to, like, make ESPN 5...
Be the gaming, yeah.
Then that's it. Twitch will not so much lose out, but I think ESPN has enough, like, install base being, like, a cable network that they could just fund themselves on ESPN 1 and 2 that they would be able to get in their homes.
And that sweet, sweet Disney money.
Yeah, that Disney money... Yeah, they're a Disney company, right? That's why EVO was on... Okay, yeah, and then EVO was on Disney and ESPN, so... Yeah, it was wild. Another competitive news, the last Splatfest, which was a couple weeks ago, went to Pearl again. But I was
Is it just because, Pearl's sides are better this time? Or they finally ironed out, like, how to weight them so that people don't just end up going towards Marina, or...?
So Marina also won the popularity contest again, so this is the third one in a row that she's won. But the problem is, if you win popularity like 51 to 49, and this was the same when they were still ironing out with Callie and Marie, it tends to, if you get more people on your team, you tend to also get more bad people on your team. So there's more chance that you'll have like bad people in any given match versus, I don't know, that's garbage math. But every Splatfest that I've seen, not everyone, but a majority of them, the team with more people typically wins less games. But it used to be weighted more towards popularity, almost to the point that games played didn't matter, but now it's games won and team games won or something like that. So Pearl's side won again this time, but yeah, so it was Flight versus Invisibility, and I don't know why anyone chose Invisibility other than just choosing Marina, but yeah, Flight won, so I won this one. It's nice.
Nice job. Yep. Well done.
Would you choose Flight or Invisibility?
I'd probably choose Flight.
Like, I can't decide why I'd want to be invisible. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, non-creepy reasons to be invisible. And it's mostly just pranks. I mean, I love pranks, but not enough to not be able to fly, so.
Yeah, I can't think of, like, in my day-to-day life, reasons why I wouldn't want people to see me. Except maybe, like, being able to walk down a dark street at night without getting catcalled, like...
I mean, that's actually pretty huge.
Yeah, which is actually, like, a major part, but...
Or, like, sleeping at work. Like, if you didn't snore. Like, if you just want to, like, nod off, you know?
Just, like, pop into a quiet room and jump into the... And just curl up in a chair.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, we all know spots at, like, work underneath a stairwell where, like, no one's really going to look around that corner. And if you were invisible, no one would ever have to. Just get a little bit of sleep there, you know? So... but flying is so much better than that. I wouldn't, like, want that ability, you know?
I would never have to rely on the MTA again.
What are your rules for flying? I'm assuming you fly as fast as you can run.
Really?
That's always how I think of it, to make it the most balanced thing. Because there's, like, a level of... at least when you're trying to, like, figure out which superpower you want. Mm-hmm. Like, if you make flight, like, Goku or Supersonic or even, like... when Satsuki and Yuko, like, turned into jets. That felt like... It feels like so little effort that, yeah, of course you would never walk anywhere. You would just always fly. Like, it would never be worth walking. So, like, the balance of it is, yeah, you can fly as long as you're able to, like, run. You know what I mean? And maybe even, like, hover down to the ground. Like, you can hover, so if you run out of breath, you don't just drop out of the sky. But you can't just, like, rocket across the sky. You know what I mean?
Oh, man, I was thinking, like Superman, Wonder Woman style, like...
Well, yeah, but then you start to, like... But then you, like... Because then people will cheat those conversations. Because, like, if you can fly that fast, you need to be able to withstand that, which means you have, technically, like, super strength or whatever.
Oh, fair.
So it's just kind of, like... just trying to pare it down as much as possible so that you, someone's like, I want super strength, and you're like, well, I'll just take, like, running as fast as the Flash and Sonic, because that implies super strength, so ha. And you're like, well, okay, well then fine, I want that, then, instead of just super strength, so. I've had these conversations many times.
I could tell.
Did you look at this next link at all?
Yeah, I watched the video.
Oh, really?
They didn't mean a lot to me.
But... oh, it's just a sizzle reel, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is the Nindies. PAX West was last weekend. It must have been over Labor Day weekend, along with Dragon Con, which I didn't get any news from that. But PAX West, which is raises a lot of interesting questions about where morality lies, because the Penny Arcade guys have done some stuff in the past that people don't want to support. But PAX has kind of like grown far beyond them, and I think they sold it to like ReedPop anyway. Mm-hmm. So like you can go to the Penny Arcade Expo without supporting Penny Arcade. Which is like, okay, like, I mean, you're giving them notoriety, and I think they still speak at the event, but like, I think you can kind of go guilt-free.
At this point, yeah.
If you can make the rationalization, I don't shade anybody who won't still go. It's tricky, especially when it's one of the biggest industry events anyway, so it's like...
Yeah, I was gonna say, there's like a point at which, like, as someone trying to make it in, like, gaming, to some extent, you kind of have to go to these events.
Yeah, so, I'll never be mad at somebody for having to do something for their job, even if they don't necessarily morally agree with it. Unless you're, like, balling, you know? If you are the establishment, then maybe don't make it so necessary, but whatever. But Nintendo released a video, which kind of, I guess you only had to go to play the stuff, but they have supported, they've said they were going to support indie games this generation again. And, you know, we're like, Nintendo, you promise a lot. Put your money where your mouth is. So they actually showed us, like, some of the indie games that are coming out in a relatively short time. And I sent you the sizzle reel, but there's also, like, a longer showcase you can look at. We got a lot of games coming out, like, little tactics games. So there's a Super Meat Boy game, more Shovel Knight stuff, fighting games. You know, I really can't, like, there's not a good way for me to, like, talk about this without just going into a bunch of, long discussions, but there was a game that I think kind of had like a Native American sort of feel to it, and I hope it's consulting or involving Native American people, because it definitely looked to have like the quote-unquote tribal aesthetics, so I hope they're not just like ripping that off. There's some games that look like Advance Wars, which was a strategy game that I always loved and I want them to make more. There's like a beat-em-up game that's either... it's to cook, like, you match three to cook the stuff, and you, like, jump around to, like fight to get the ingredients. There's a Super Meat Boy game that looks like it's an infinite runner. Hollow Knight's coming. I'm just kind of describing this trailer the lowest amount. There's a game called Celeste coming out that I really want. Shovel Knight's getting its final DLC. So there's just, like, a lot of stuff. Like, the indie market is going to be pretty good. If you don't have a gaming PC kind of thing, or... because I've always believed the mantra, like, the only consoles you ever really need to get all the exclusives would be, like, a Nintendo one. So, like, PC and Nintendo, you probably have everything. There's a golfing RPG. It looks really charming. There's just so much stuff coming out.
Live the dream to be just like the president.
To golf?
To golf constantly.
What a jackass. There's a game called Floor Kids where you break dance. It has, like, a hand-drawn style. A lot of people of color in it. I don't really know what the game is like. It doesn't look like to be the most engaging game, but it looks like a fun little thing to do. Yeah, the game Wargroove looks like it's pretty much Advance Wars, with a little bit more like indie hipster kitsch to it. There's a dog unit. You can use dragons. The dog unit is called a doggo, which I was like, okay, I guess we're doing this.
Meme hard, meme fast.
Yeah. And then there's being a game strong. Called Dendara, where you're a black woman with an afro and an awesome scarf who kind of jumps from, like, the ceiling to the roof, kind of like you cling to walls. And then the No More Heroes character, Travis Touchdown, he's coming back for another game, which doesn't feel indie to me, but, you know, it's whatever people call it. And basically, he killed a lady in the last one. From what I understand, it wasn't, like, a gendered violence kind of thing. She was just, like, one of the assassins that he had to assassinate to be the best assassin. I think it was like 8 people he had to kill, and there were a couple women in there. And the one woman's dad's like, yo, Travis, you're a dick, I'm coming for you. And they both get sucked into a game console and have to, like, I guess, work together to fight the game bosses. So like he's gonna have to fight Shovel Knight at some point. So, you know, what the world. And last, Overwatch League has an arena. Like, there's a Blizzard arena being built.
Mm-hmm.
Or being, like, modified down in Burbank, California. People were thinking they're gonna have, like, Hearthstone, Here's the Storm, maybe whatever competitive games Blizzard has, but Overwatch is one of the big ones, so.
Yeah, what does a gaming arena look like?
Like a regular arena, but smaller. Like, think Console Energy Center, or PPG Paints Arena, I'm sorry. Like, your local hockey stadium. This one's supposed to have, like, 450 seats, which is still, I think, not, like, League of Legends or Dota numbers, but, like, pretty big for, like, the studio. I think it's supposed to be more of a studio than an arena.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, that's where the casters will be, and that's, I mean, 450 people is pretty easy to fill up in Burbank, I feel like, and that can get pretty loud.
Yeah.
So we're hoping there will be some more local stuff, too, but it's supposed to be, like, a nice arena with some, like, training facility or stuff in there. I'm not sure about all the details, but that's pretty cool. Yeah, and then, did we talk about the Sinatra player
before? I don't think so.
He's a 17-year-old guy, an American player, but there's like kind of rumors about like what his salary is going to be and stuff like that. I think he's one of the first few people signed. And from what I heard, and I don't know if it's rumor or not, but he's supposed to be getting around $150,000 as a salary, which is the league minimum is 50. So that's three times the league minimum. And he'll be missing part of the season until he's 18 anyway, which is,
yeah.
But it's kind of nice that he's going to be to tell his parents. And you guys said this was going to be pointless.
seriously.
He's going to be making a buck. And people are thinking that's going to be towards the upper end of salaries, but it's not necessarily going to be the highest or the standard, but it's not going to be unprecedented either. So the league is shaping up. I'm hoping a few more teams pop up before November or whenever it starts, but I will be excited to see what comes up. Yeah. I'm very, very excited.
Cool.
And I guess the last gaming news, good old PewDiePie, Felix, is popping off again, really making an ass of himself.
Everyone's so shocked. Everyone's just as shocked by this news as they were about the fact that Hillary Clinton's not going to run again and the fact that Joe Paterno knew what was up. The three most shocking things of this week.
Oh, man. Wow. Okay. Yeah, you went the whole gamut of three separate things.
These are all the things that I've been shocked about this week.
People are also laughing. They're like, people are like, oh man, the N-word shouldn't be such a big deal. It's like, but you typed out the N-word and not the actual word itself.
Right.
So obviously, you know, it's not in the best taste.
It's like, which one's worse, the N-word or cracker? Which one did you say?
It's... but yes, this is an interesting thing. So that's really stupid, and people are trying to defend it, saying like, oh, it was a heated gaming moment, and I'm like, dog, like,
you don't say those things when you're angry unless they were in your head to begin with.
Yeah, like, and someone pointed out that, you know, like, he's probably not trying to be racist, and it's like, that's potentially worse, actually, because it's just becoming like, people use the word like on your 4chans and stuff and your Reddits in a way that's kind of like same way they use like the F word referring to gay people is like, yes, it's a slur towards that and that's what people predominantly use it for, but there is like a trend, I guess you would say, of people using it just to be like, this is a bad word, so I'm going to say it to be like that edgy guy. And that kind of what that does is gives you the ability to say, oh, I'm not being a racist, and we're like, well, okay, fine, but like there's tons of people who are racist that use it in that sense.
And how am I supposed to tell you apart from them?
Yeah, and you're making it easier for people who... What this is doing is not... You know how some people say they're trying to reclaim a word? Like, this is the opposite of, like, making it, like, a joke. But that the pain doesn't go away. Like, you haven't... It's not like you stripped the power away from it and made it a joke. You're just making it a joke. It's kind of like making the cold virus taste like candy. All you've done is make it less... scary sounding, but it's equally as dangerous, potentially more now, because some people still say that's still the cold virus. Like, no, it's just candy dirt. Like, no, that's pretty sure it's influenza. Like, we're all gonna die if you keep spreading that around. Like, but it's called candy. Like, yeah, you're dumb. So you know, metaphors aside, PewDiePie is just being an asshole, and it's like, yeah, we told you this when he was like, people are like, oh well, you know, he was just He just was in a heated moment. Like, was he in a heated moment when he, like, sent, like, the anti-Semitic message to, like, those poor kids in that country? Like, no, this... How much do people have to show you their true colors before you're like, oh man, this guy keeps showing us the color blue. Maybe he's blue. It's just bad. Same guy who was like pushing this narrative about him not being bad also like was the guy talking about journalists being bad at video games last week, and it's like that it was a whole thing that I don't have time to get into right now. But suffice it to say, like, there's a difference between saying, you know, I want my reviewer to have a similar skill level as me so that like their opinion matters to me, whether that person's good at video games or bad. I don't want my reviewer to be better than me or worse than me, because then I have to figure that out, which means I want someone who's been playing video games as long as me but hasn't been trying that hard, which is a very specific type of skill level. But someone who's just now getting into video games wants someone who has that sensibility in mind, and someone who can beat Super Meat Boy without dying and beat Dark Souls without taking damage. Like, they want a reviewer who understands that. But neither one of those reviewers is better, because if you can't do the words good, that means you can't do the reviews good, no matter how well you can make pixels move across the screen. It's just how it is. Sorry for your loss. And so there's a whole video games Twitter got into that because they like having the same people point out. Tell me how you feel about this stuff. Some people are like, why do games review, like, games Twitter, we have the same conversations every couple years. Like, why
I was going to say, it seems very cyclical.
Yeah, like, why don't we ever get stopped with this? I'm like, because we never come to a satisfying conclusion. And I'm going to put this on record right now. All we do is talk about how these conversations are gatekeepery, or how they're bad conversations, or how they're inane conversations. But we never come to, a conclusion that, like, makes anyone feel more satisfied, you know what I mean? Because, like, the people who are, like, quote-unquote centrists, who are kind of more lean towards, like, right-wingy, kind of, like, walls-up kind of gamers, even they're starting to be like, well, I want them to have some skill level, but that's not the most important thing when it comes to reviewing. But we don't want someone who can't complete half of a game. But at the same time, like, if you're bad at video games, you can still write an amazing piece about, like, a game's aesthetics, its controls, like, does it feel good to move? But then people would say stuff like, I guess the thing that caught me, like, no one would ever say, like, this is the only genre where, the only medium where you need to have, like, a skill level to complete something, period. Like, whether it's, a quote-unquote walking simulator or Candy Crush or, like, Dark Souls, there's some skill level and motor control you need to beat the game. And they're like, well, people don't need their, like, book reviewers or movie watchers to have a certain skill level. I'm like, well, they kind of do. We all have a friend who has shit taste in movies or books, and we just don't take their advice. Like, it's like, dude, you should go see Transformers 4. I'm like, no, the fuck, I shouldn't. They're like, well, no, it was so good. The story was good. You're like, no, it was not. Like,
I can tell you without having seen it that it was terrible.
Like, most people with, like, some kind of, like, you can still enjoy it. I enjoy bad stuff. Like, I got some enjoyment out of Sonic 06. Trash game, doesn't even work, but I enjoyed it to some degree. So I think what you would call skill level in absorbing movies, comics, books, and TV isn't the same way you would enjoy, isn't the same skill level you need in video games, but I think there's a level of who's qualified to be an authority on something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, that's gatekeeping to a degree, but I'm only trying to gatekeep my garden. My garden isn't all of video games, it's just what I look at. Like, my garden isn't all the plants in the world, it's just the plants that I want to look at. I didn't plant a sunflower, I don't like sunflowers, get them out of my garden. But they can be in someone else's garden, kind of thing, you know what I mean? But because that's what these critics are trying to do to the reviewers, is just basically say, you're not qualified, get your voice out of here. And it mostly is just like, get your progressive liberal voice out of my medium. That's really what it's coming down to. But I think there was still, like, a point underneath all the bullshit that was, like, what do we really look for? Like, what's a solid review? And people say we have the review scores conversation every year. I'm like, yeah, no one came to a consensus. So some places have a 1 out of 5, or some people have a 1 to 10. Some people have good, bad, average. Some people don't even use scores. So obviously, we had the conversation and didn't come to any consensus or agreement. So that means we didn't have an answer. We just talked about it, and people said the conversation was dumb. So, like, I think that's why there's cycles, because we're not coming to a conclusion. That's just my two cents. I've been sitting on that for, like, a week. Sorry.
It's okay. We didn't have an extra long episode this week because we didn't have one last week.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. People will love this one.
Hot takes from here to Florida.
Do you have any, I know it's not video game related, but do you have, like, any discussion on, like, reviewing and that sort of thing?
I mean, I definitely agree where you're coming from, like, the idea that you need to be familiar, like, even if you're not, like, even if, like, you just watch other people play video games and then review the video game based on that, like, you have to have some familiarity with the rules of the genre before you can critique it adequately, I think.
Yes.
You have to be familiar, whether it's a genre or a media or something, a medium or something, like, you have to, like, if I want to talk about, so much for being well lubricated, oh my gosh, like, if you want to talk about, like, tropes in, like, YA fiction, then you have to be able to speak to different, like, YA stories that those tropes are present in, and how, then, like, be familiar with how each one used it, and whether it uses it well or not, you know? Like, when I'm reviewing manuscripts at work, like, that's what I'm looking for. Like, you know, I have to have some knowledge of the industry and both of the industry as a whole, but also what is good and what has succeeded in the past in order to know if something will be good for the future.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think that's what you're talking about is like a level of familiarity. And I think that's what stuck out to me, because even a lot of people that were on the side of, like, stop being a douche to journalists saw this, because it was a video of this guy playing Cuphead, and he was very bad at the tutorial level. Some game devs were like, hey, by the way, this tutorial wasn't that complete, in the sense that, like, the reason this guy didn't make this, like, he didn't try the action correctly on the first time was because the tutorial didn't, like, it skipped a step of what you needed to do, right? You're supposed to double jump or something. I don't remember. You're supposed to jump and then air dash. But there wasn't, like, the second, like, there was no reason for those actions to flow other than I've played a platformer before and I knew to do that. So the thing that was, it was weird to watch, because I'm like, this, I don't even know if this guy is bad at this. He just has, like, he doesn't understand some of the general principles of this. Like, the first thing I would do, I saw him like, oh, hey, it's saying you have an air dash. You can dash over it. You can do stuff in the air. That was the first thing I would have tried. And he did try that and missed it, which that's where I find skill is you can't make the jump that's possible. But the thing that threw me off, I'm like, why is he trying to, like, this guy doesn't seem to, like, know what tends to happen in video games. And that's just kind of where I got thrown off. And I think that if you want to make that argument, is like a new reviewer or someone new to games, cool, whatever, not everyone's good at stuff. It was just kind of odd to see somebody who's like, oh, I review games. I'm like, dude, but this is, you're missing some of the lexicon that I think a lot of people have. And it kind of speaks to the whole, we want to make a game for everybody, but no tutorial. You're like, yeah, but you're expecting people to use, like, dual stick controls, be able to use all four triggers without looking at the ground. Like, this isn't for everybody.
Yeah.
So your tutorial needs to be more robust and more to the point if you're going to have one. So I think you're right. There needs to be, like, a level of familiarity for someone's words to be trustworthy. But at the same time, like, if someone writes a garbage review, you know what I do when I see a review that I think's garbage? I go to complain to my friends about it in private. I don't flame that person. They have the right to write for that. If that's the post an outlet wants to put out, fine. Like, there's posts on our blog that I haven't agreed with, but I don't, like, it's fine.
You know? Yeah, I mean, it's the same as, like, I always, if I write a post that I disagree with the, like, prevailing opinion about something, like,
you just and get,
I
like, see someone views. Who likes it.
Yeah, well, not only that, like, yeah, I get, like, 1,000 views, but also, like, if I see someone who has the opposite opinion, I'm just like, I'll bitch to my roommate about it. I'll complain to one of, like, you or one of my friends about it. Like, I'm not gonna go post, like, start, like, a flame war online because I really hated Dear Evan Hansen, you know? Like,
I mean, you started a flame war, you just didn't...
I just didn't participate in it. I lit the match and I dropped it.
Oh, man. Good lord, good lord, good lord. What a wonderful day. Yeah, so, you know, people just being jerks online, it's just a shame. We'll get there one day. People will respect each other. Yeah.
Someday.
Do you want to take a break,
not
actually?
Not in Trump's America.
Well, in Trump's America, well, you know, what's even real? What's
even
real?
Let's take a break. Actually, having been reminded that we live in Trump's America, I think I need a break.
Yeah, we'll be back in a second. Peace. Okay, welcome back to Geekly Reveal. I hope you enjoyed that music. As always, it'll be in the show notes and you get the information. Go support your favorite artists. As of recording this, the New England Patriots are still one of the worst teams in the National Football League. Let's just say that while we can keep saying it, they have a record of 0-1, and that makes me very happy. when I woke up this morning, they were, in fact, the worst, which is, you know, just goes to show you can change statistics to mean anything you want. So we have some more news, some more geeky news, not just straight up pop culture. Would you like to kick this section off?
Yeah, we'll start with a piece of news that I am incredibly excited about. There's still some badness. Not all of the evil has been defeated, but Colin Trevorrow is no longer the director of Star Wars Episode 9.
Peace.
Thank you, God.
Peace. So, why is this a good thing? I ask falsely.
Yeah, mostly for me to explain to our listeners why I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
So, this is a good thing because if you are one of the people who saw Jurassic World, you would know that Colin Trevorrow is a hack when it comes to directing female stories. What is Episode 9 of Star Wars? The conclusion of the heroine Rey's hero's journey.
It should be, right? Like, it's not going to be,
you would
it's
think.
Not going to be a Finn Poe adventure.
Not to the best of my knowledge.
Okay.
So, that, like, as I said, like, the evil isn't entirely defeated because that guy who wrote Cursed Child is still working on the script rewrites, so, like, No victory is perfect. But I am so, apparently it's for the very obvious reason that he was not listening to Lucasfilm about what they wanted to have in the story, and they were like, okay, buddy, you can fuck right off. But I'm so relieved because, like, he did so poorly by the women in Jurassic World and did not seem to think that he had. So, like, that was alarming. And also, like, just as, like, a representative of, like, the, like, white guys club of Hollywood directing. So the story of how he got to do Jurassic World after he did one single indie movie. And then Brad Bird was leaving Jurassic World. He was supposed to be the director. And he literally said, like, I know a guy who reminds me of me.
That's like, that's the most mediocre way to get a job, and like the one time where it's even remotely possible, because like, well, we wanted you, well, here's me but crappier, like, well, okay, fine. But like, why not hire somebody good?
Yeah, so like, obviously the push now is for like a woman or a director of color or a woman of color director to take up that position, because it has not been filled yet. Because like, that is so, it's this exact same like oh, like Patty Jenkins was a risk because she had only done a couple movies before Wonder Woman. how is Colin Trevorrow not a risk?
Yeah, I think that's what bothers me.
Like, there's such a double standard.
It's ridiculously double standard, because it's like, Patty Jenkins, by my estimation, at least, would be a risk. Because, yes, what you said, two movies, or nothing big, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but the thing is, I'm fine with that. It's just that the double standard doesn't say that Colin was a risk, which he certainly was, and still should be, based on his performance in Jurassic World. We give these mediocre, like, white dudes just, like, so much leeway to make movies, and it's like, dude, you're not only a risk, like, the reward that we might get is not even going to be that great. Like, oh, great, we risked something and we lost nothing, but what did we gain? Not a whole lot, just a mediocre sequel reboot to Jurassic Park. Glad we did that. Anyone would have been better. So it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's very frustrating, and, like, the annoying thing is that, like, after Jurassic World was a critical failure, like, failure to critics.
Yes.
That didn't mean that he was never going to get a job again. He was immediately handed this other beloved franchise to reboot.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't, like, what? Like, these guys get so many chances, like, Elektra and Catwoman were kind of bad, and that ruined, like, female superhero movies for what? Until
for
Wonder
over
Woman?
A decade. Yeah.
At least I think that's what happened. I'm assuming that's what happened. I guess they ruined, like, superhero movies in general for a while, but especially women's movies.
Yeah.
You know what the thing is? Like, I'm sure Catwoman was... Everything about Catwoman was bad except for the fact that it was about Catwoman. Like, that wasn't the problem with that movie, if you've seen it or even seen reviews of it. And even the people that shit on it the most are like, this isn't because Catwoman's a female character. It's just the director's a hack, the writer's a hack. They didn't.
The plot is terrible.
The plot's terrible. Like, Halle Berry, Oscar award winning Halle Berry, couldn't even make this work because it was not a good movie. So I don't know. Like, maybe women should direct women led movies, at least to make the performances believable. Maybe the writing will still be bad. Anyone could be a bad writer, but at least it'd be believably bad.
And then, like, the thing that's the most frustrating is the. Like, even Kathleen Kennedy, who's the head of Lucasfilm right now. Like, she's like, well, we'd love to get a female director for the Star Wars movies, but we're waiting for the right one to come along. Or, like, you know, like, we're waiting, we just haven't found the right person yet. Like, have you been looking?
I mean,
like,
but you're telling me, like, Colin Trevorrow was, like, there's...
He was the right choice. Like, not 8 out of 9 Star Wars movies. 10 out of 10 Star Wars movies so far. Like, if you count Rogue One and the Han Solo movie, have been directed by dudes.
Here's what I always say. Look, there's better straight white dudes that we could have found. It's not like we found the cream of the crop. It's like Joss Whedon is a bad dude. We figure that out. But, like, at least he has a reputation of being the greatest dude, TM. It's not like, oh, you don't pass up Joss Whedon. Like, no, it wasn't even him. It's fucking this dude who made Jurassic World. Like, he wasn't like a Tarantino, a Spielberg, like these dudes with pedigrees, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, oh man, that's even a bad excuse. We just couldn't find the right female director. So what you're basically telling me is, like, every female director is worse than this guy. Like, you didn't say that, but that's what you said.
Yeah, basically.
And I don't believe that. Not for a second.
Yeah, I think you're wrong.
I think we should get more women directors, more women of color directors as well. You know, I'm pretty sure Lexi Alexander's pretty awesome, so we should get her on more stuff. I wouldn't be mad if she just directed everything from here on out. people of color, speaking of them, freaking Netflix anime coming out. Is it?
Yeah.
Did you see this?
I watched the trailer. The Mary Sue post about it described it as a glorious fever dream.
Yes.
Of a trailer, which is about right.
Yeah, it's Neo Yokio, and this is the first time I've seen a Netflix likes to dislikes bar. It's 7K to 6K, and I agree with that, because I'm not going to say that this looks visually amazing. I'm not going to say that this looks conceptually amazing. I don't even know if this is going to be good. Like, the voice acting seems to be a little off. And at the same time, I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah, it has, like, this, like, ludicrously star-studded cast for this weird Netflix anime. It looks just like the regular, like, it would just be, like, a, if it was a Japanese anime, it would just be, like, a random, like, one-season anime that, like, it comes out, it has, like, a little bit of fan base, maybe a tiny bit of merchandise, it'd be hard to get it in the U.S., it'd be over, that'd be done. Like,
yeah, like, the plot seems incoherent.
Yeah.
But it's starring Jaden Smith. The pitch I heard was like, yo, Jaden Smith and Desus and Mero are in an anime. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'll watch it then.
Yeah, okay, I guess that's cool.
But it's in Neo Tokyo, which is an overdone setting. And I guess Jaden Smith is in school and gets, like, magic powers, but also rides a robot and has a giant Toblerone bar and
fights demons.
Yeah, the fact that no one's cast Jaden Smith as an anime protagonist before seems a little bit bad, because the dude...
feels like a missed opportunity.
The dude is an anime protagonist, but...
Seriously.
Someone said, this looks like one of the How to Draw Anime books at the Michaels.
It does. I'm like... it's not great quality animation.
And, like...
they spent their whole budget on the voice cast.
And, like... and, you know, the thing is, like, we've all seen these visuals of Boondocks, so we know America... and, like, black companies can make high-quality anime. And part of me wants to think that they didn't want to. Like, they purposely chose not to. Like, that would be... because, like, this... like... yeah, this looks like a joke. Like, you know what I mean? Like, having Jaden Smith as a black guy with pink dreads protagonist, like, this feels like a joke, you know?
I mean, that feels in character for Jaden Smith.
Yeah, and it can't be worse than Death Note, so I mean, like... that's, yeah, exactly.
This is their fix. They're like, oh, that didn't go over that well, but...
I mean, it has... it does have more likes and dislikes, at least, unlike Death Note, that has more dislikes than likes. But yeah. I want to watch it. It comes out, I think, like, September 22nd.
Yeah, I will definitely...
I'll watch a couple episodes of it. It seems like it might be fun to drink, too.
That's true. There you go. I'm definitely going to check out at least an episode.
Yo, that's... I don't know what you're doing that weekend, but I think that's what I want to do that weekend, is just get drunk and just, like, there has to... I hope Black Girl Nerds is doing, like, a live tweet. Just, like, the internet will just be ridiculous. Yeah, this is the only year this could have came out.
Yeah. You know what? You know what? That's a perfect segue into the next thing I want to talk about. If you were done talking about Neo Yokio.
I have nothing else to say other than I might have to cosplay Jaden Smith. His character, I mean. Go, please go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, God.
All right. So, the next thing, a sentence that could only occur in this year of our Lord 2017, is that we have finally discovered the author of the fanfic My Immortal, and it is a Native American lesbian.
Wait, hold on, what? I zoned out for a second.
I'll happily deliver the sentence again. The author of My Immortal has come forward after being kind of semi-outed during the whole Handbook for Mortals crisis of 2 weeks ago, because someone was like there was a theory that the author of Handbook for Mortals was the author of My Immortal, and then someone from a publishing house said in a very shortly thereafter deleted tweet that, no, that can't be the author of My Immortal, because I'm working on a book with the author of My Immortal, and I fear for this girl's job, because she is very, she was an editorial assistant, so, like, the lowest on the totem pole, and I wonder if she was firmly chastised for sharing that information.
Oh, yeah, good point.
But the world ran with it, because they looked up what imprint this girl worked for, and they looked up the list of books that were coming out from it, and it turns out that the author of My Immortal is Rose Christo, who is a Native American lesbian woman who, in her book Coming Out, details her life in New York City foster care and how she and one of her foster sisters wrote My Immortal to some extent in a effort to find her lost brother, her brother who was lost in the foster system somewhere.
That's actually super interesting.
Which is, like, fascinating. Also, apparently she really loves Undyne.
Of course she does. She's
a big Undertale fan.
Look, I'm not gonna stereotypes are bad, but here's two things. One, I don't know any lesbians that don't love Undyne. And two, I don't trust any black people that don't love anime. Proceed.
All right. Proceeding. Yeah, but it was just like...
How do you feel about Undyne, by the way?
I dig her aesthetic.
Cool.
I don't know anything about her one way or the other. I know she like I, knows that anime is real.
Proceed.
But yeah, so it was just like a surreal moment in the last week where this, it's like the Voynich manuscript of fan fiction was suddenly abruptly decoded, and it's possible that maybe Rose Christo is the superhero that we need right now.
She's the anti-Trump.
Her identity was revealed in like a very like I am Iron Man way in order to fight the evils that we see in the world.
What was her name on the on My Immortals? Was it a pseudonym or?
She referred to herself as Tara, I think, in the story. Or no, the main character is Raven Ebony, Dementia Darkness Way. But I think the author referred to herself as Tara at the on Fiction Press or wherever, fanfiction.net, wherever she was posting it. But also her username was something like XX Bloody Blood and Blades and XXX, one of the, a super, gothy, emo-y.
An Xbox Live name.
Yeah.
Okay. So My Immortals was never, a book?
No, it was a Harry Potter fanfic.
Oh, okay, so you've probably said this stuff before and I may have, zoned in and out, so, I had no idea what this was. Okay, so I'm learning stuff.
No, yeah, it's a Harry Potter fanfic that is considered the most infamously bad piece of, work of fanfiction.
All right, and she dragged herself about it, right?
Because one of the mysteries of My Immortal was whether it was written badly on purpose or whether it was just written by an emo 12-year-old who didn't
and it was written
know
by,
any
like,
better.
What was the quote?
And it was kind of both.
What was the quote? Oh yeah, I understand your confusion. The good bad fan fiction and bad writing is almost indistinguishable or something like that. Is that one?
Yeah, she dragged herself in dragging Handbook for Mortals. So she was like, I can tell why you would think that. Because bad writing all looks alike or something
that's
like that.
Right. Okay, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Oh, geez. In Dragon Handbook for Mortals, but yeah. So that was just and apparently her book is going to get into this story to some extent. So
that's why not. Why not live your best life?
I just continue to lament the publishing deals that I have missed out on.
It's never too late.
Fascinating to me.
It's never too late. Anything else on that?
Right. Nope, that's it. Let's put a pin in that. I'm sure there will be
for this week.
Yeah.
Next up, Magic School Bus is coming back.
Yeah.
And I'm not excited.
I was so excited when it was first announced, and I am distinctly less excited now, having watched the trailer for it. Because it's bad, y'all. No amount of Lin-Manuel Miranda singing the opening number can save the fact that the animation is real shitty.
Yeah. I think it's the art direction that's bad. Because not the animators. The animators can only do so much.
Yeah. But, they're using, very similar models for all the kids, and, there's no movement in... like a character's like when Miss Frizzle talks, her face doesn't move except for her mouth. Like there's no emotion really tied to the voice acting. And like the premise is interesting. The idea is that like the story is being passed off from the original Miss Frizzle, who they got Lily Tomlin back to play, who's now Professor Frizzle, off to her sister, who's the new Miss Frizzle, who's going to take over the bus, played by Kate McKinnon. But, like, it's just so visually unappealing.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's just stiff. Like, it doesn't have the magic of animation that people can really... just really...
connect to?
Yeah, like, there's like, a fluidity of animation that's, like... I'm trying to think of the shows that are like my beautifully animated, and I can't think of stuff that's I can't think of right now.
But I mean, like, there's even like in even within the realm of like, because this isn't hand drawn. This is like
it's Flash model probably. Based.
Yeah, like Flash probably. But like even within the realm of like Flash animated shows, there's a scale of like. One, two, like, with one being, like, wooden and weird, to, like, up to, like, to looking realistic, you know, fluid. Like,
yeah, I think you said My Little Pony was decent.
Yeah, it was a Flash show, and I don't remember ever having this kind of, like, Uncanny Valley feeling watching
it
when I watched it for that reason.
Yeah, what I was thinking was, is that My Little Pony was using distinctly non-human animals, or, yeah. I guess non-human animals is fair. And they weren't even supposed to look like necessarily real horses. So, like, some of their marionetting, you might say, was excused with... It looked like a kid's cartoon, and it was still fluid, and the colors were vibrant. But something about humans of a certain size looked... Like, it didn't look... Like, Rick and Morty has a similar look to it. But it's also purposely, I think, a little bit more scaled down quality-wise. So, like, when someone gets, like, knocked across a building, like, the way that they ragdoll a little bit doesn't look... Like, it's saying to you, hey, I'm a cartoon. Hey, I'm a cartoon. And, I mean, I guess even your we should have talked about this, too. Like, your South Parks are purposely garbage, so they don't look wooden. They look paper. Which is...
Yeah, like, that's what they're supposed to look. Like, I don't think this was an intentional design choice.
No. And also, they lightened all the people of color, which is also a bad look. So, that's not a good look, either. I did like Lin's version of the theme song. It's better than the DuckTales remastered theme song. I'll die on that hill. Never gonna
die on that hill.
Yeah, I still feel that way.
You wanna know what other hill I'll die on? You wanted to get into this.
What hill? What?
I said on Facebook last night, and I stand by this.
Oh yeah, this is something you saw the other day.
I saw this last night. I remembered this last night. So in 2006, this is real up to date news. this is apropos of literally nothing. This I just want to get this rant this on is tape.
Actually, completely irrelevant.
It reoccurred to me last night that the inadequacy of the results of the SpongeBob Best Ever Marathon, which was a voted on top 100 of the best SpongeBob episodes ever, and literally, I stand by this, the results of this voting are more incorrect and upsetting than the results of the 2016 election.
Look, I'll put this in perspective. Trump winning the election is either believable because either Russians cheated or there's a lot of racists in the United States, neither of which I have any reason to deny. If you told me more than half, like, enough of our country is racist, sexist, and xenophobic enough to vote Trump into office, you know what I tell you? That sucks, but I believe you. I wholeheartedly believe that. That's fair.
If you told me that
Chocolate Day, Chocolate with Nuts isn't in the top 10 episodes of SpongeBob SquarePants, if you told me that wasn't true, I'd be like, you're full of it. That's wrong. That can't be true.
If you told me that Frankendoodle didn't even make the list,
top 100 episodes of SpongeBob, yo, you're tripping, man. Like, that's
Band Geeks is number 38. Band Geeks is the best episode of SpongeBob.
And I'm wondering, who picked these? Like, what?
Who decided that Karate Island was number one?
It's one of the worst episodes. Can I get some of what
drugs?
That's one of like, the worst episodes. They go, they go into like this false water. Like, they go above water while they're still in water to get to an island. It doesn't make any sense. It's...
Krusty Towers is in the top 10. It's a terrible episode.
Oh, man. And this was in 2006, right? So, mind you.
Yeah.
You and me are, what, 16? Like, we're only, like, what? When did SpongeBob come out?
And I was
like,
mad
like,
then.
Like, 1999? Is that when it came out? Like,
we're, yeah.
I want to know, who was SpongeBob's target demographic that knew enough about all those episodes of SpongeBob to be able to vote those in? You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, well, like...
What 7-year-old was allowed on the internet to do this voting?
That it's just a it's a junk list, and it makes me sad. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
I was real fired up about it last night. Every time I think about it, I'm fired up again.
Like, and they said it was voted on. Like, it wasn't picked. It was voted on.
Yeah, that's what pisses me off. And you know what? If I want to be pissed about this, I'm going to, because it's an innocuous thing that it doesn't hurt anyone one way or the other. That the results came out that way. There are so many other horrible things going on right now.
Yeah, but I need to be mad about something inconsequential.
But yeah, I just... There needs to be something minor that I can put my feelings towards to distract me from literally the world breaking in half.
Oh, and it's so bad. Like, there's so many bad things that are like... should have never happened, like, did actually affect us. But this is bad, like, why did this happen? Like...
Yeah.
Like, when we had the election, there was always a possibility that the results could have been poor. Cool. There's no reason that there had to be a top 100 SpongeBob episodes and that'd be bad. Like, it didn't have to happen. This is just... Oh my gosh, that's so bad. Like, why isn't Frank and Doodle on? It's not in the top 100, are you joking me? Ripped Pants? Come on. Come on. Ugh. Ugh. Also, Rami Malek's
Rock Bottom? Rock Bottom's in the 70s?
How? How did that get so deep in there? That's a classic bit. It's a classic bit. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, no, but, you were trying to shift gears real fast. Have you seen this picture?
Who's made a freaking Karate Island reference in the last 6 years? Nobody, that's who. Nobody.
I don't even remember enough about the episode to make a reference. Apparently, according... I was reading this article. Apparently, Pat Morita was in it. I had no idea.
Who's that?
Because I can't remember that episode. The guy from Karate Kid.
Oh. That's cool.
Yeah. But, I mean, like... A celebrity guest does not make a good SpongeBob episode.
It does not.
As proven by that weird episode that had Johnny Depp in it and that weird movie that had David Bowie in it.
David Bowie?
I think it was David Bowie or Tim Curry. Some British guy with... Some, like, kind of, like, femmy British guy with a weird voice.
Okay. I mean, he could have been in there. I know Hasselhoff was in the movie.
Hasselhoff was in the movie. Hey, the movie was decent, though. Yeah, like,
that's when they wanted to be done, anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But, anyway.
So, Mr. Robot's gonna be Queen.
Yeah. Have you seen this picture?
I've seen a couple of them. So, he is actually gonna be him?
Yeah, he's playing Rami, or he's playing Freddie Mercury in the upcoming biopic.
That's cool.
But
that's fair.
So this isn't really
good.
I was saying it isn't really nerd news, but I was just like so blown away by how like good he looks as Freddie Mercury.
This is pop culture counting it.
Yeah, and like also deeply relieved that they actually cast a man of color to play him.
Yeah, people forget that Freddie Mercury was a bisexual man of color.
Yep.
Man, he looks like so much like him. It's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, it's really just wild. I love it.
That's cool. That's cool. He's Egyptian. Okay. Rami Malek. I didn't know that. I don't really know him from anything. I didn't watch Mr. Robot. Did you?
I didn't watch Mr. Robot, but he was the Pharaoh in the Night at the Museum movies.
That's cool.
That's what I know him from. Because everyone was like, oh, hey, they cast an actual Egyptian to play the Pharaoh.
I assumed they cast a white guy. I just assumed. I don't know if that's not good of me, but it's not my fault. He was also in Battleship.
Oh.
With Ra. Yo, he was in Twilight, too.
For real?
Yeah, he was, who was he?
Who knows? Was he a werewolf?
I don't know.
All the brown people were werewolves.
Oh, really?
I think. Well, I don't know.
I'm not gonna look at this. It's too much work, but he was in it, so. Y'all cool. Can look it up. I don't want to type on, not stream, on the recording. I think that's everything, right?
Yeah, that about settles it.
Cool. Alright, so we'll have music, and then we'll be back with our famous section, the shit we got. See you after the break.
Info will be in the show notes as always, and since I'm talking and we have already talked about all of our new stuff, it means it's time for the stuff we got this week, part of the episode.
Yes.
What do you get, Dom?
Man, I got a lot, actually.
Would you care to elaborate?
Yeah, so like I said, I'm drinking this Warlock beer. I went back to the beer store and they had like a lot more pumpkin stuff, so we are in full swing, which is pretty cool.
And also, locked and pumpkin loaded.
Yes, and I've been eating like pumpkin donuts at freaking Dunkin' Donuts and stuff like that. Ooh. I love the pumpkin spice. I don't actually like pumpkin flavored things if they're legitimately pumpkin flavored, like the squash. I think it tastes kind of funky. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of bitter, kind of gross to me. But everything that's like vague, kind of like how I love cherry flavored stuff, but I don't like cherries that much. It's funny.
Uh-huh.
And then I got a pin in the mail, actually.
Nice.
I think you got the same pin, I'm willing to gather.
I did. I did get the pin.
You want to tell people what it's from?
Yeah, I got not only the pin, but a whole collection of items. Because I got my backer package from the Dates Volume 2 Kickstarter. Good stuff. Haven't had a chance to download the comic yet, but I've put it on my shelf at work so everyone can see it.
Stunned on them.
Exactly. And I had got, there was a lovely print with it that I put up by my desk too. And my beautiful pin.
Yes.
Enamel pin.
The pin's kind of heavy too, I feel like.
Got some heft to it.
Two backs. Like it's.
Yeah.
It's not just going to fall off some stuff. That's. I'm excited.
Yeah, not messing around.
Cool.
Quite lovely.
Yeah. I don't know if we talked about it. The print, did we talk about the prints you got me from FlameCon? We must have. We talked about FlameCon, right?
Yeah, we did talk about FlameCon, and it wasn't a secret that I had gotten you those, so.
No.
But he got them last week because I went back to Pittsburgh and hit up ye old Pittsburgh, Greater Pittsburgh Renaissance Fair.
It was a fun time.
Festival.
I got socks from there. Slytherin socks, actually, and Pittsburgh socks, black and gold.
Nice. Yes.
They're like thigh highs, I guess. And I looked sexy in them, because your boy is fabulous.
It's a look.
Of course it's a look. Anything else you get?
And then I got a pretty Yeah, pretty blown glass orb.
Mm.
At the Ren Fair's. They're a different glass blower there than has always been there before. It used to be like an old George R. R. Martin looking guy who did the demonstrations. It was a lady this time. I didn't actually catch any of her demonstrations, but I always love to buy me a lovely orb.
Orbs.
And I got one. It's quite pretty. It's faceted. It's very interesting.
Nice.
But I got also the bag full of scale mail.
You did.
This week, for my Red Sonja cosplay that's coming up in 3 weeks.
How's your working out going? I remember you were doing like a whole thing.
Yeah, I've been doing Couch to 5K. Hit the halfway point today, so total of 12 workouts. I definitely think the conditioning is working, like, because I definitely am able to run for a longer period of time than I was when I started.
Nice.
And I have, like, I've lost a little bit of weight. I think I'm getting into better shape. We'll see, but I'm gonna pretty much be eating oatmeal between now and next.
Oh, geez, so you're dieting and exercising.
Month. Yeah.
But it's paying off, you're losing the weight like you want.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
So far, so good.
Well, I've always learned never to ask people about their weight, but there's nothing wrong with asking people if they're hitting their goals.
Yeah. I have very high body image to begin with, but there's a certain level of body image that I want to be at in order to wear a chainmail bikini to a venue as large as New York Comic Con. So that's that's a thing.
You know, the thing is, I feel like even if, or no matter how you feel like about different things, like, I'm pretty good with not body shaming people, but like, if I saw somebody that was my body type, I'd be like, oh, hey, as long as you're comfortable, feel good. And they're like, how do you feel about it on you? I'm like, I need to do better. And like, what do you mean? I'm like, I need to either lose or gain weight. I don't know which one, but the weight that I'm at, I don't like it. I just feel uncomfortable with my shirt off. I don't know. I either need to gain weight or something. It sits in weird places and I feel uncomfortable. I have a weird body image, but my face though, haha, looking but good. Face. Chef kiss. Mwah. speaking of image, I went and got a fall jacket today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because I lost my last one.
Did some domestic shopping.
Yeah, I did some domestics. With the SO today, and actually just did some adventuring. I wanted to go to Yankee Candle today, and then I saw the price at Yankee Candle, and I had second thoughts. but luckily, it was suggested to me to go to Bath & Body Works. Good place there. They had some nice sales, so I got two candles and like a thing of lotion for free. Yeah, but the jacket I was excited about. But the freaking Bath & Body Works is a whole ass liar. Like, they have the big sign introducing men's scents, right? And I'm like, mm-hmm. No, you're not. These have been here for like 10 years. You guys have been selling stuff to men for a long ass time at this point. It's kind of rebranded, but like, it's weird to see how they advertise to men, because the way they advertise mm-hmm. to women is like, oh, hey, we have real smells like vanilla, but also stuff like moonbeam.
Yeah, so, like Midnight Path.
Yeah, so to men, they are like, we have ocean mist, which is a smell you could smell. Or also like, well, hey, like bourbon, which is like,
also, like, it's a smell.
It's a real smell, so, but I think they have something that's kind of like,
that's not a smell that you want to, like, smell like.
Yeah, but it's not that smell.
Like in your workplace?
Yeah, like, bourbon caramel doesn't smell like bourbon. But I got like a focus one, like an aromatherapy one. So it's like eucalyptus and tea. It smells really nice.
Yum.
And then like some midnight blue thing. it's amazing. And like I said, the jacket, I got some new shoes because my last shoes had holes in them and wasn't trying to get dragged by Black Twitter, you know. Had to step my shoe game up. I got Vans. Sure. Got my Vans on, but they look like sneakers, so it's cool.
Yeah.
What about you? Anything else?
Yeah, I got my flu shot, so I'm a productive and contributing member of society.
Yeah, I've never got a flu shot.
You work in a hospital.
I work in several hospitals, first off.
I work in an office. Like, I'm mostly worried about, like, someone sneezing on me on the MTA. Like, you actually spend your work time around sick people.
Yeah, my immune system's amazing. No, I want to get one. I'm just always scared that the side effects will get me.
My arm's been sore since yesterday, but other than that.
You said your arm is
the
sore?
The flu is no joke. Yeah, because it's a shot, yeah. And then mostly it just, like, I never usually get, like, the, like, actual flu symptom side effects. I usually just, like, have, like, the same kind of soreness, like, muscle soreness you get when you get any kind of vaccine shot.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to go do that, because I'm, like, very hardcore, like, hey, go get your vaccines. You know, so I think I might get one this year.
Do it for the culture.
Is that like a chemistry joke?
A little bit.
Okay.
So that there's like a vaccine culture.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go get my shot to literally get the culture. That's why you get your shot. That's a dumbass joke.
You're welcome.
What else did you get?
I got a new library card. I'm still a card carrying member of the New York Public Library, yeah, but literally. It does not serve the Brooklyn borough, so I am now also a card carrying member of the Brooklyn Library. And last but not least, I got a while ago tickets to see the McElroys live. Doing sadly my brother and me episode rather than an Adventure Zone episode, because they were only doing two Adventure Zone episodes, one in Nashville and one in Tacoma, Washington, which are a little bit outside of my range. And since the Nashville one was the day that we're going to Florida to Key West for Fantasy Fest, and since Key West is still on the map, I will not be canceling those plans. So, but it was really fun, even though I'm not as familiar with this show as a thing. It was a funny show. Lin-Manuel Miranda was there because he's BFF with the bros.
Yeah, he really is.
He came out and did like an opening thing that was like an in-joke from one of their more recent episodes. Then they had John Hodgman from Judge Ron Hodgman as a guest. Like, as a guest brother, basically, because the premise of the show is that they do, it's an advice show. They, like, read Yahoo Answers questions and or stuff that people send in or tweeted them, and give ludicrous, inadvisable advice to the asker. And it's quite funny. The theater was beautiful, too. The King's Theater in Brooklyn, it was enormous. It was apparently their biggest live show ever. And it was gorgeous inside. And we also got to see, they had an opener, which is a new thing for me at a live podcast show. Fellow McElroy adjacent podcast Still Buffering did the opening of it, which is run by, the three sisters who parallel the three McElroy brothers, Justin's wife, Sydney McElroy, and her two sisters.
Okay.
So it's about, the youngest sister is still a teenager, and so it's a show about, like, relating to teens to some extent, like a kind of, like, a funny show about what's hip for the teen of today, like where the sisters are, like, the older sisters are, like, out of touch and talk about the things that were cool when they were in high school and try to explain them to their younger sister.
That's dope. Yeah, I wonder how, I feel like when they planned this tour, I wonder if they had any plans to do a Cool Games Inc. episode, and then had to cancel that, because that definitely was not going to be the move.
Mm-hmm.
So how was the opener? How'd you like it?
It was fun. It was different. I've never listened to that podcast. I'm actually kind of jealous the DC show got Sawbones as the opening bit, which is, Sydney and Justin's podcast, and Sydney's a practicing medical doctor, and the show is about weird medical practices. So okay. Like they just talk about like the history of X thing. Like their first episode was about trepanation, which is the medical practice of drilling a hole in your skull. So they get into like just like the history of something and like why people may or may not have done it and whether it still persists today and like that kind of thing. It's like very interesting to me.
Nice.
And so I was kind of jealous that the DC show got Sawbones and we got Still Buffering, because it wasn't like as right up my alley, but it was still like, it was funny. They were talking about like crafts they did and like, so there was like, they had like bedazzled jackets and like puffy paint shoes that they had done with puffy paints, and like, and the youngest sister was like, well, I learned this on Pinterest. and was like showing like how like a different thing. So
it's dope. It's dope. Hey, maybe one day we'll open for a big podcast.
So that's the dream.
Oh, that's not the dream. That's just like,
that's like, it's also a it's a possibility.
That's like,
could happen.
It's like dream foreplay. Like, come on, like, don't sell us that short.
We'll never, it's like, we'll never have a live show of our own, but maybe one day we'll open for someone else.
I mean, opening for another podcast is still a live show, so, like...
True.
It's, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should do, I mean, I want to do a live show one day. I think it could be fun.
Be fun. Maybe we could, maybe we hit up the con circuit.
Yeah, there has to be, like...
A panel in it.
We could do like
Techo or something.
We could do a panel. We have like the quality for it, you know. We just got to figure out a way to like find a way to load it, you know what I mean? Like not load it, but like also record it while we're doing it. Otherwise, it would just be a panel where we talk to each other. And I don't know if people would get that right away. Like, why are they talking to each other? You know what I mean? It's like we're doing a live episode. Like of what? Yo, we're character reveal.
Don't you know? We're the character name recognition.
Well, we're the character reveal brand. We also have Geekly Reveal and many other shows.
Many other shows in the works, dear listener.
It's like how FanBros has multiple shows. You know what I mean? They're a hashtag brand. We can be like, we're like a junior hashtag brand. You know? Oh man.
Right.
Speaking of which, should we kick the social media business?
Yeah, let's do that.
Cool.
You wanna do it?
Yeah, it's been a while. Okay. So say you want to catch us on Twitter. How would you find this podcast? That's easy. You would search Character Rev at Character Rev. That's two R's in the middle on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook by just searching Character Reveal. You know the two curtains logo. You can find us on Instagram also at Character Reveal. We've been uploading a little bit more lately, I think, so that's pretty cool. Go give us a follow, give us some likes. So you want to see us individually, you can find me everywhere on the internet at Brother Dom. That's THA, not the hard ER. Unless you're PewDiePie, you can search the hard ER. Go F yourself. you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and Twitch roughly every Tuesday around 7:30 p.m. EST, Eastern Standard Time. That's something I'm doing now. I just got Supersonic last week, and the few people watching are liking it, so come join. It'll be fun. You can find Steph at Captain Steph, and that's on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Tumblr at The Snow Queer, and on Instagram at Hella Steph, right?
That's right.
I'm killing it. Yeah, and we both write for the Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog. That's ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com. That's an intersectional feminist pop culture blog. Is that correct?
That is true.
And you can also find us on Patreon if you want to find this podcast. Every dollar helps. We're trying to get to more cons, get more stuff, such as this. I think we're going to be doing a giveaway soon. So, keep your eyes.
Hint.
It's good. It's, like, decent quality, too. So keep your eyes peeled. It's not a junk giveaway. I mean, it's kind of, we'll explain it. It'll be fun. But we're giving that away soon. And more giveaways will help us just, you know, expand the hashtag brand. So that's patreon.com/character reveal. And you can also find us at character reveal.simplecast.fm or on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all that good stuff. And, that's it. Yeah.
If you like us on iTunes, if you want to hit us with a rate and review, that'd be fabulous.
That would be great.
No matter what you think.
Yeah, actually, yeah, no matter what you think, every little bit would help. It'd just be nice to see some reviews and know what the people think.
Exactly.
But other than that, I think that's everything. Thanks for listening to us. I know we have kind of a weird schedule sometimes. We try to get you something at least once a week, unless it's kind of like a holiday week. Or like we're like a burnt out holiday week sort of thing. We even still like to get stuff like on, like your
until we're making a lot more money on Patreon. This is always going to be the second job.
Yeah. So sometimes life gets tricky, but we appreciate you all being pretty big fans, and thanks to whoever the hell is listening to us in Japan.
Yeah, we got some good.
Japan's like our second biggest listener and they're only behind by like a few listens. So like by the end of next week, we might be bigger in Japan than the United States. So that's kind of weird, but just because we're located in the United States. But you know, life is interesting. So thanks for all that. And that's everything, huh?
I think so.
Hey, well, you all stay frosty. It's been fun, and we'll catch you again next week. And until next time, see you later.
Bye.